We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob, and you're listening to episode number 306. Thank you very much for listening. Sure appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. We love those questions. Thank you again for being a part of the drone community. We know why you're here. It's because you love to fly like we do. And you don't like to learn things the slow way. You want to get the information as fast as you can, whether that's whether you're a beginner and you're just learning to fly, or whether you've been flying for some time and you just like the continuing education. Well, you've come to the right place.
Absolutely.
And we are here to answer your questions on the Ask Drone U podcast. So before we fill your speakers with any more nonsense, let's get right into today's question, brought to you by: Are you a drone pilot? Are you operating under a Section 333 exemption? Then you may be familiar with Item 27, which requires you to get a property release for every flight over property.
Legal Flyer is an app for iPhone and iPad that helps you create professional property releases in less time than it takes to do a pre-flight check.
You can add your pilot info, you can sign in, hand it to the property owner for their signature. But wait a second. Legal Flyer's advanced integration automatically adds latitude, longitude, and even altitude.
Then add a panorama straight from the app. Everything drops into a single page PDF you can share with a single tap. It's compliance at light speed. Visit LegalFlyer.com for more information or get it straight from the App Store. Legal Flyer, property releases for professional drone pilots.
Hi, this is Todd again in Houston. I'm using Adobe Premiere and I'm filming the exterior of the house. And I'm having to do a lot of post, even though I use a polarizing filter. One thing I started doing was making fake HDR photos of the exterior. And the interior is where I need help with settings, because the Phantom 3 does not shoot well at all on the interior. Any advice on using HDR photos in the Phantom, or post-production, and how do you touch up the videos in post-production? The first time I edited my own video, it took me about 15 or 20 hours, one, to learn Adobe Premiere, and two, to let my crappy computer render for hours on a two-minute video.
Before any of you out there are saying, what? Let's take a step back, because a long time ago, we all started in a field which we knew very little about, on simply a pursuit of happiness, a pursuit of something that struck you as interesting, or a pursuit that would simply get you away from the everyday life of the cubicle.
Whew, that's a fabulous pursuit, to escape the cubicle.
Which is why a lot of people love to fly and make money with their drone, because they get to travel, they get to live the world they get to live the dream in the world that they want, which is awesome. There are a lot of different parts of this question, Rob, that I think that are kind of confusing. So, kind of taking it step by step, when it comes to using a Phantom 3 for real estate, using it on the exterior is great. Why? Lots of light. If you're new to editing, yes, it's going to take a lot of time for you to become familiar enough with editing, but the more time you put into learning editing, the less time it will take. I mean, I remember my first video took 15 or 16 hours, but that also doesn't include the fact that you've got to have a dedicated machine to do editing on.
Yeah.
If you're using a PC and Adobe Premiere, and you're not running at least, 32 gigs of RAM, you're going to find it really difficult to edit, period.
Sure. So we don't know what Todd's budget is, and we don't want to assume anything there, but it's going to be a struggle until he gets a nicer computer. That's just the reality of the situation.
You know, either that or he can outsource the editing through Upwork or another a similar site.
Wouldn't you say, though, and I think this might be true with any discipline, Paul, that it would be good, I think, if it were me, this is the way that I would look at it, I'd want to do some on my own first. Because if you don't have some sense of what should happen, then it's going to be difficult for you to interact with an editor and get them to do what you want them to do.
Yes, I agree 100%. And I feel like, you know, learning editing yourself, there are many valuables to that too. Because when you're shooting, you kind of get a different perspective of what you're shooting and what that's going to look like and how it's going to fit in your timeline.
Right.
Now, that being said, oh man, there was a point I wanted to hit that you asked about editing. When you're getting to know editing, when you want to talk to your outsourcer, you know, editing as a whole is a very difficult task. But if you aren't taking the right steps to shoot what you're shooting, editing is going to be much more difficult. Now, if this particular user wanted to learn about editing, our editor did a couple of webinars where he discussed how to use Final Cut Pro, which is a very similar program, and he goes through the shortcuts and he goes through how to use it and how to save time and whatnot. It's very useful. So if you become a DroneU member, that information is available on the site. If you do want a run through, we're coming out with a more kind of comprehensive class. It's actually being taught by John, who's behind the camera right now. But that being said, when it comes to filming the inside, I know a lot of people cringe when they said, oh, Phantom 3 inside of a house. And the more experienced guys would probably cringe because of the amount of noise that's in the camera, the Phantom 3 camera, and also the amount of light that you would need to actually make the image look good, meaning the video image look good. Because you would need, you know, 500 watt lights on inside of the house to really light it up for the Phantom 3 to have enough color. To really look right and not enough noise, excuse me. So I would recommend, sir, that you ditch the Phantom 3 idea, especially if you're new flying inside of homes. If you're new, I wouldn't recommend it. Definitely fly inside of your house a lot before you fly inside of other people's homes. And obviously insurance is key.
Sure. So what would you use instead? Obviously the Osmo, which we have a video coming out on that. So.
We actually have the video came out this week on 5 unique ways to use the Osmo. And we talk about the link will be here or here or here. Anyway, this video showcases about 5 different ways to use the Osmo. Also talking about using the app to control the camera, because you can use a regular camera to shoot the inside of a house. I used to do it. I used to take the Sonys all the time, put it on a tripod, pan up and down, slide this way, slide that way. You know, you're trying to get 3 different angles of each room in kind of 3 different views. So, you know, continuity editing rules, wide, medium, up close.
Right.
So it's like 6 different shots per room. But that video goes over 5 unique ways to add a lot to your videos with a minimal amount of extra accessories and gear. That's why I love the Osmo, because it's literally one little case, and I have a slider in there, and I've got a suction cup, and I've got everything I need to get unbelievably smooth shots in just about any location. Now, even with the Osmo, there's still some noise in that camera, so I would still recommend as much light as possible in that house. Open up those windows. Turn on all the lights, bring extra lights with you. You're going to need them. Good news, too, for everyone who's wondering about the intricacies of filming real estate. We are finally scheduled and booked to do our real estate videography class. A lot of people have been asking about it for a long time.
They have.
But we needed the right location to shoot this, because we actually wanted to shoot a house while doing the class to prove to people, like, hey, look, we're actually doing this right now.
And this is exactly what you guys can do. So one thing I would like you to talk about just briefly, Paul, is people that have been listening for a while, they've heard that at least you used to use your Phantom to fly the inside, but you're not doing that anymore. So some people are going to maybe be a little bit confused about why that is.
Well, I would say, honestly, the GoPro Hero 4 Black is probably better with interiors than the Phantom 3 Pro. Also, I can get much more dynamic, clean, professional-looking shots with the Osmo over the Phantom. Now, there is this one caveat. If I need to do like a 20-foot slide, or I need to showcase a reveal through a hallway, or
just a really big space.
Yeah,
or
huge big room. Want to get a nice, you know, half moon movement through the room. I will absolutely use a Phantom 3, but the light is so crucial. You know, he's asking about, oh, I'm editing so much, it still looks like dog doo doo. Like, what am I doing wrong here? Add lots of light. You know, in our training videos, the one that's coming out here soon, which is advanced aerial videography, you know, we go through all the drone settings, we go through all the camera settings. And one of the things that you can do is shoot in vivid style. So if you open up your DJI Go app, you click over the record button, it's like menu, and then you go into style. You can change the style and the way that you shoot. So most people shoot in D-Log, which is a flatter way to shoot. If he's not used to editing, he can shoot in vivid, art, or even none, and have a vast increase in not only sharpness, but saturation of his image. So he's not going to be doing a lot of color grading in post.
Is that going to make uploading it take even longer if his computer isn't up to par? Because of more data, you know, that's totally a shot in the wind. I don't know.
That is actually that is a good question, because, you know, you take the example of the Sony A6 and the camera we're shooting on right now, the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Cam. Those files are a lot bigger than the files out of the Sony because of the dynamic range, the depth of the colors that he's getting out of that. Now, if he were to increase the amount of color, would his files be bigger? I honestly don't know, but I would imagine so, based off of the fact that this camera, the files off of this are much bigger than the Sony, but the dynamic range is also significantly higher on this camera than the Sony.
So it stands to reason, but we're not sure exactly how that would impact
You know, if he, you've got to get a computer that has a wicked amount of RAM, and you've got to be careful. Even if you buy a Mac, whether you're an Apple person, you know, I always don't buy the newest Mac, even though, you know, you can get, I can get a flash drive with 256 gigs. That's really not that much room on your computer. Mm-hmm. Like, if I were to even make a 3 to 4 minute video, I would take up that entire amount of space with just my project file. So, like, my computer right now that I edit on is a 2 terabyte, 32 gigs of RAM. I've got the best graphic card. I have the best graphics card I could get. Mm-hmm. Both of my monitors have been calibrated. If you're editing on a non-calibrated monitor, you're making a massive error, because you want to ensure that what the color you're seeing is the color that everyone else will see on their monitor.
Right.
So, and then I have 5 1- and 2 terabyte hard drives. So, I mean, like, my computer is really dedicated to storage and editing of media. I would recommend, you know, if you don't have a lot of money to spend on a computer and you're not good at outsourcing, look at a Mac Mini. It's $700. You can get 500 gigs of RAM. You buy, or 500 gigs of memory, excuse me. You can buy 2 16 gigabyte RAM cards, put those in your Mac Mini, and now you've got like a super Mac Mini for only about $850.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And that can,
you know,
do everything you're talking about.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I use, is a Mac Mini that's been jacked up. So,
yeah.
That's all. I mean, it's all, you know, the tips, the tricks, the nuances that really get people further along that don't have the normal resources that other people do. And I honestly have more respect for people that go through the learning curve to better understand it.
Sure.
If it's to communicate better with an outsourcing person, or they just want to learn it so that they can truly understand it to discuss it with other people. I really respect people like that, instead of people who just buy, you do this, you do that, you do that. You know, I think there's significant value into understanding things through and through.
Definitely. So one of the things that he mentioned is HDR, and I don't know if he was asking this or not, I just wanted to clarify really, really quickly, in terms of using that setting inside, that's a no-no, right?
Absolute no-no on the Phantom 3.
Okay.
HDR means high dynamic range. Normally, if you're shooting with a Canon 5D Mark III, 5D Mark II, you're going to put your camera in bracketing mode. So essentially, you're taking the same photo at different levels of exposure so that you stack all of these images on top of each other to have the utmost depth of color and light in every single place of the photo. Hmm. That's the whole idea of HDR. Again, with the amount of noise that the Phantom 3 camera is going to have inside, I don't think this is a viable option, period.
Okay. So bottom line is avoid using the P3 inside unless you've just got ridiculous amounts of light.
And it's a huge, massive home.
Right. Okay.
Like a big ranch house, you know, you're flying through a barn. You'd be surprised. Even when I flew through a barn with the Phantom 2 and the Hero 4 Black, it was incredibly noisy.
Yeah.
So it really was.
Okay. Well, Todd, hopefully we've answered your question. If not, obviously you can reach back out to us as you did this time. We'd be happy to hear from you again, obviously. And yeah, follow-up questions are more than welcome.
Definitely. And Todd, thank you for your question. We've all been there. And you know what, sir? You've got a lot of cojones to ask that question. So anyway, thank you so much. And guys, if you have a question, go to askdroneu.com and upload that question. We would greatly appreciate it. And I'll try not to make random noises with my phone as I'm talking.
check us out, guys. Twitter, Instagram. Share your photos with us on Instagram.
Yeah, tag us at the Drone U. We greatly appreciate it. And if you love this podcast, you want to learn more about drones, you like to be continually educated because you want that competitive advantage, become a member. DroneU, thedroneU.com, thedroneU.com. If you're new, take the Don't Crash course. It's the best 90 minutes that you could ever spend. Seriously.
Indeed.
That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask DroneU.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.